Blog Talk Radio.
Some kind of music. Kind of guy. Who kind of take off? Hey. Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe. With my back against the ropes. Feeling like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low. I've been new. I've been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake. But it's straight nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Cold scratching, they messy. Bitches be broke and be petty. Hate on the low and it show cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle. Staying down got me every penny. Nights ain't have a penny. Hurt me so bad, can't forget it. No, can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I flip it for sure. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face, Lord. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope, I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Feeling like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low.
I said one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two time for the two time, cause they fake now. Three time for the three time, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight. You ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealous in every, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new. That they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window. But I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos. I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up. And you still broke my feet up. Got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck nigga. You nigga know what it is, nigga. We get real money over here, nigga. This Canada gang, nigga, I'm fresh out, boy.
Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope, I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Feeling like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been known. You were hating on the low. I've been known. They were hating on the low. I've been known. He was hating on the low. I've been known. She was hating on the low.
Yeah. What's happening, world? We back at it again. Welcome back to another episode of Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Benz. What it do, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? Welcome to another Sunday Fun Day. This is Real Adult Talk with SG and Mo Benz. So as always, roll something up, pour something up, light something up, smoke something up, drink something up. Come kick it with your people.
For a shizzle, let's shout out our top five countries tuning in.
Yeah, let's write it down, man. So, you know, I take it from bottom to top. So, number five up top, Euro. Big shout out to Finland. You know, shout out to y'all, man. I'd love to see y'all on the countdown. Y'all been running with us for like the last year almost, man. So big shout out to Finland, man. Y'all really hold it down for, you know, Real Adult Talk with SGMO Benz. Number four, we have not the country, but the continent. You know, big shout out to Australia. everybody out there in the outback, the provinces, you know, peace and love. Number three, we got the beautiful shades of Brazil, South America on the check-in. Number two, made in China. You know what I'm saying? Big shout out to the Great Wall of China, the rich history of China. And we appreciate, you know, because that's got a lot of people over there. You know what I'm saying? So everybody that's over there listening to us, highly appreciate it. And then, of course, we have the home team, America the Beautiful, America the Ugly, the United States of America. So big shout out to all 50 states, all the fly cities, East Coast, West Coast, the South, the Great Lakes. And I come to you from New Amsterdam, a.k.a. NY City. So peace to everybody out there. So as always, tell a friend and tell a friend, log on and listen.
We love y'all. We love everybody. Thank you very much for your support, man. I'm pretty sure that Mo's World Famous Chop Up series tonight going to be lit with everything going on in politics. But we're going to wait and see how that works out. Man, Mo, how was your week, bro?
So, yeah, my week, I'm calling this week the algorithm. You know what I'm saying? So life is an algorithm, man. And, you know, it's funny how, like, technology is just – you know, it's like a basically, I don't know, it's just it's life in a way. You know what I'm saying? A computer is like, I mean, your mind and body is your own computer. And then, like, how just, you know, the algorithm and things that gets, you know, connected to you or whatever. So, you know, I'm kind of in that mode a little bit. But but my week, and it's funny that you mentioned politics. Big shout out to Trump, because Trump is like my inspiration this week. You know what I'm saying? Hustling through the bullshit.
Yeah.
So, you know, no matter what comes your way, you know what I'm saying? You still got to, you know, if you got a goal that you're trying to achieve, hustle through that shit. You know what I'm saying? Don't let them see you sweat. You know what I'm saying? I used to be like a model back in the 90s. Don't let them see you sweat. So that's where I'm at. Of course, you already know. The mantra 2024 is plan, strategize, execute, consistency. Hello, March. You know, big shout out to, you know, March, man, March Madness. And, you know, we about to say what's up this spring. So, you know me, I'm a new person each season. So, you know, I'm just, I'm slowly just morphing into this spring, summer Mo Benz, you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited of what the future holds, the immediate future, which is you know, coming soon with the spring, summer, you know, with the changing of the season. So that's my week. So, you know, how was your week, Black? I know you got a lot of, you know, you got a lot of things in place, and you know what I'm saying? And a lot of growth, a lot of, you know, chessboard pieces being moved around. So, you know, what's up with your week?
Hey, Shay, man, this week, this week felt more like a reset, right? I still have not gotten back to my old routine, but then it's like sometimes when there's changes, you may never go back to your old routine, right?
True.
And so, as you know, I have two YouTube channels, well, three, that I'm currently active on. And one of my channels, you know, is like 7,400 subscribers on there. But that channel has been locked at 7,400 subscribers for a while. They won't let it grow. They won't let it do what it do, you know, the negative energies and stuff that's surrounding that. So this week I just focused on my other channel and, you know, my tribe of people. And I'm like, maybe I need to focus on, you know, the Aquarius tribe a little bit more. And I got back into doing, you know, some readings this week because I had been, you know, adjusting and realigning. So I'm thankful to get back into that energy because I've been in a real laid back type of energy, but, you know, pulling things together. I was just telling my husband tonight, I had a long list of items, right? I write down my to-dos. And about 2.5 weeks ago, it was this, like, super long list. And I was like, look at this list. I said, this to-do. And that motherfucker looked at that list like, what in the world? Like, you know, like, in 2 weeks, I ran that list down. You know what I'm saying? And so he was like, you know, I know you're ahead of your business. But, you know, when somebody sees something, you like, ain't no way in hell you're going to meet that in that deadline. So I've been really focused. I've been focused on business, you know, getting everything in alignment, you know, because we're moving forward, you know, and you know, as a unit and making sure that everything is that way, you know, to you know, life-changing. So the news for the show really quick. This month of March, welcome March. One, I'm happy that I can turn off my heater, okay? I'm happy to go back to, I'm happy to go back to $25 gas bills. So the heater is officially off, and it's been off, I want to say maybe 2 days now. So that's some good stuff. But, you know, the weather's so bipolar, we don't know what's going to happen with that. But here we are, the week of Sunday the 17th and Sunday the 24th, we will not be on air. As you know, the first Sunday, we do the spiritual conversations. We're doing that. And then the last Sunday is the world famous chop up. So basically, after next week, we will be back on the 31st of March, and that should be a very explosive show. We don't take off regular days, you know what I'm saying? So we've been doing the same thing for, what, 6 years now? Next month will be 7, something like that. We come every Sunday. This is our therapy. This is our reset. This is what we do. But on those 2 weeks we're going to have off, those 2 Sundays, we have hundreds and hundreds of archive shows where, you know, you can go back and listen to it. You know what I'm saying?
Breaking news, too. In those 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying, that we're going to be doing some, you know, behind-the-scenes maintenance and stuff like that, I will be dropping the new Top 10 List 2024. You know, I'll have some extra time, so be on the lookout for that. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, when we come back from the world-famous chop-up, you know, I'll be able to run down that list. So, you know, I know people been, you know, checking for it, asking for it. It is coming. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. But continue.
Yeah, we're going to be able to pull some things together after our mini vacation. The only time we really take off is our official holiday, which is Super Bowl Sunday, and then if we have some things to do. And so, you know, this is a good break. You know what I'm saying? This is a good break for us.
Yeah.
To be able to, you know, embody and do what we're doing behind the scenes, and then we're coming back with a super fire show on March the 31st. Right. You do not want to miss that show.
Bro.
Super fire. Yes.
And it will be the world famous top up too. You know what I'm saying? Just mm-hmm. Yeah. Facts.
A lot of good shit, you know. So just so y'all know that, don't think that we just be missing it action. Other than that, yeah. A little bit of rest. Today I got rest because I haven't had rest for the last couple of weeks, running, preparing, and all that. So today I was able to finally get some rest and get to sleep throughout the day. And
yo, real quick, too. Hold on. I got to say this, and I hate to keep interrupting you, but hold on, I got to just say this one thing, because I got a lot of rest, too, today, and it's so wow, like, you know, and, you know, we've got to get into a spiritual conversation tonight, but it's so wild, like, you know, just that Bible story of whatever, like, you know, I haven't read this part, but, you know, I've heard about it, but, you know, just God supposedly, you know, putting everything in order and then resting on a Sunday, and that's how my week was. My week, every day I had something to do and, you know, grinding, hustling, and yep. I just felt good. Relax today, and yeah, so I'm in that same energy, but I just wanted to, I wrote that in my notes.
Yeah, I turned up by myself, and I wasn't really supposed to turn up Thursday, but I did, right? Didn't even know. So we've been drinking this tequila reposado, and
okay. We've
probably been drinking this reposado for maybe like a month and a half, but this reposado, we're not used to it, and it hits stronger than what we normally drink. And so I was preparing his stuff, putting his stuff up, you know, washing his stuff, whatever. And I just, like, let me get a drink, you know, let me, you know, keep going, you know, doing my thing. And I was toe up, right? About the end of the night. I was like, wait a minute. I went from bed toe up. And then last night, we turned up together. We was way too turned last night, right?
I know,
like,
a couple drinks from you, Black, and you wavy, so I already know.
Listen, we went to bed at like 5 this morning, okay? And then I got to get up and do my prayer call. I can't miss the prayer call. And then after that, it was just laying around. And so I woke up. I didn't have a hangover, but I was hungry as hell. So we went and got something to eat, and then it was just chilling. You know, I took my shower. We just laid around and just relaxed and talked. And this day we normally turn the TV on, and I normally got a movie I'd tell you that we watched, and it was good. We didn't even turn the TV on. It wasn't okay. Even a lot of social media. It was just relaxing, right? And I feel like that I needed that day, because this week that we just came out of, it was more laid back. I was finalizing some things, but it was more laid back than before. But every day I got something to do, you know, every single day. So yeah, that's a good look for that Sunday, man. That Sunday, boy. It was a good Sunday. So we're gonna get into the spiritual conversation, right? I got 45 minutes left to jump into the spiritual conversation. And so every first Sunday of the month, I come to you with the spiritual conversation to give you something to think about, to give you hope, you know, and to give you certain examples. I do have a ministry where I work with all females on becoming a better version of yourself. We are all students of life. We will always learn. We will always be in the process of learning. I have women of all ages. I have women younger than me. I have women older than me. When you got it to, you know, guidance, you got it at the right time. So tonight we're talking about learning how to forgive when it's the hardest thing to do. Now, in this world right now, with a lot of spiritual warfare going on, it's social media, right? You know, social media is meant to keep the mind busy. Social media is meant to influence the mind. And what they allow on social media is corruption, it's chaos, it's crazy. You know, the things that are growing and the things that they allow to grow, you see more and more obesity. You see more and more LGBTQ and all of this. You see more, you know, people being put in situations that, you know, you're left to judge and you're left to talk about people. Because let's be honest, people are living miserable lives. And when you find yourself going down a rabbit hole, checking the blogs and, you know, everybody's business. You can talk about everybody's business, what everybody got going on in their life, talking about yourself and you're not trying to fix yourself, then that shows you that you are the problem, right? And it's times on this show where Mo is like, you have anything. And I be trying to bring myself to go to the blogs, to care about something to talk about. But it's hard because I never want to get caught up too deep in these rabbit holes of chaos and drama, right? What social media teaches you is to not forgive. Social media teaches you that you are above everything else, but you're not a God. You know, social media teaches you confusion. And so we know that all melanated beings are gods and goddesses, right? And we have to unlearn these habits. We have to stop checking in and stop being judgmental, you know, especially for us. It's not even other people doing it to us. It's us doing it to us. So when other people do it to us, we want to get offended, but we have to lead by example. My good people over in China, you know, the one thing that they know for that is super big is mukbangs, right? They get on there and eat, and they get support and all of these things, right? You know what white people are known for? their bouginess, and you know, their down to earthness, right? Do you know what black people are known for? Drama, chaos, confusion, conflict, being judged. Ooh, I'd never be like that in my relationship. Ooh, I'd never have a friend like that. Ooh, I'd never do this. Ooh, I'd never do that. We can't embrace how someone feels in the moment. We can't embrace, you know, this person and know that they are a spiritual being having a human experience. We have to judge them. We have to, you know, I'm so tired of seeing P. Diddy. And people still, you know, they keeping Diddy name alive. Diddy ain't came out and said a word. He did a happy birthday post or something. He ain't came out and said a word. But these miserable souls keep his name alive. Why are they keeping Diddy name alive? Let's talk about what did he actually do. One person that came up and basically said, listen, I was a slut. And I allowed him to slut me out because I wanted my music career to go somewhere. And because he's a billionaire, he shouldn't have slutted me out. No accountability. I didn't want to come forward because I didn't want to be judged. And yet the people judge Diddy anyways. Ooh, he a freak. I know a lot of people, businesses, and they way worse than Diddy. But they want something to talk about. What? This is what's going on. Diddy didn't do a damn thing wrong. Diddy didn't even settle the lawsuit. His insurance company settled the lawsuit. And that trickled down the chaos and the confusion. Diddy didn't force her to do anything. She wanted her career. In life, you have to make decisions. That was a decision that you thought you was going to make. You put music out and you still flopped. Now you're miserable and now you feel like, well, I've done all of this, and this is the only place my music went. I'm going to get some money out of this some type of way. She was smart. She was a smart hoe, right? But situation is what it is. They are ready to put a victim in a place. You got a girl that's very light-skinned versus a dark-skinned man, so you got to crucify the dark-skinned man. Same with R. Kelly. Same with any and everybody that's doing the same things over and over and over again. And yet we can't give forgiveness because we're so busy judging. And the reason we can't forgive people when it's the hardest thing to do is because of our trauma. You want to be with the masses. You want to lie with the masses. What if you are with the love of your life, somebody that you love more than anything in the world? And they do the unforgivable, the unthinkable, the thing that is your deal breaker. But this person, you love them more than anything else, and this is something completely different. How are you going to say, okay, you know what? This is done. This is over. It's no more. We can be no more. It's over. Because you're holding on to an ego, or are you going to find that way to forgive? Now, if a person doesn't allow you to forgive them, meaning if a person isn't allowing you to heal, right? And how does a person not allow you to heal? SG, they lie. They continuously lie. They continuously do repeated patterns. They're not allowing you to heal. Then you do what you have to do, but you still have to forgive, right? You have to forgive. And what I learned on my spiritual journey is that it's easy for me to retaliate. Very, very easy for me to retaliate. It's easy for me to throw you the fuck under the bus. It's easy for me to get in my lap. But the more I ascended spiritually, the easiest thing for me to do is to pray. Because I know that my prayers are being heard. The easiest thing for me to do now is pray. So what position are you in? Are you in a position of somebody do you wrong and you feel like you got to do them back wrong? Or are you in a position of somebody do you wrong and you say, okay, I'm gonna let my ancestors handle it. I'm going to let the Orishas handle that. I'm going to let God handle it. Whoever you believe in, what position are you in? Because forgiveness is a liberating choice, right? I know you did this to me. I know you did this to me, but I'm going to let you figure it out. I'm going to let you and them figure it out. Now my ancestors already know I want to see results. You know what I'm saying? I want to see some results. I want to see some type of results. So when you build that bond with your spirit guide, they're gonna know you. Now if I retaliate based upon the hurt that someone caused to me, or the pain, or the betrayal, or whatever, I'm gonna feel good for that moment. But if I allow my spirit team to handle it, it's going to be handled in a way that I know I didn't have to get my hands dirty, and I know that I don't have to worry about karma coming back to me. A lot of times we be put in positions and situations in our life based on how we respond and we react to things that are done to us. But we have to also know that no one can do to you what you don't allow them to do to you. So a lot of times when we allow ourselves to be overly angered, we allow ourselves to be in a position of resentment, we allow ourselves to be hurt, we allow ourselves to no longer be able to move forward, we allow ourselves to just be to be in this traumatic state of mind instead of sitting with it and letting it go, it's because we have resentment for ourselves. Ah, I should have been reacted. Ah, I should have been left. I should have, you know. And that's the thing that people don't talk about. Forgiveness is hard. It's hard for you to forgive somebody else because you haven't forgiven yourself for what you've allowed yourself to do. It's easy to say, well, yeah, I know I messed up. I know I did wrong. But have you forgiven yourself for that? So when you forgive yourself, and not on a lame thing like, yeah, I know I'm wrong, I ain't gonna love no bitch no more. You know, I ain't gonna love no dude no more. You know, I'm just gonna keep my heart to myself. That's not forgiving yourself, because God is love. We're here to get closer to love, right? And so you have to know this thing. This is for friendships. You know, any of the ships, situationships, relationships. You know, marriages. This is for all of those things, right? Because listen, situationship ends in ship. Relationship ends in ship. Friendship ends in ship. Courtship ends in ship, right? To ship something is for something to move. You know what I'm saying? It's for something to have forward action. And then you have marriage, right? Marriage aligns with carriage. It's to be properly carried, moving forward with the determination to get from one place to the next. Right? So when you are in a carriage versus being in a car, yeah, your car can go far, but the carriage is going to take you in style. Your marriage is a whole nother level of protection, a whole nother level of being aligned with God, right? That looks at in a completely different way. So when we realize that we're dealing with these ships, right? And the meaning for these, there's a meaning to be in these situations, and that's to be able to move. Move what? Move you. For you to grow. Right? So it can move in a direction that you may not even think is moving, that is moving, that's conducive for you. But you're growing from this situation. All of these situations are for you to grow, to be prepared and be in readiness for marriage. Right? So you're going to be in some ships that's not going to end, you know, how you wanted them to. But instead of feeling like you've been a victim, you realize that you were in this situation because there was something that you needed to learn from this situation. There was something that you needed to grow from this, you know, within the situation, and that's why you were in there, right? We're not meant to be in relationships for a long time. Right? No, you're not meant to be in a relationship for 10 years. You're not meant to be in a relationship for even 5 years. Let's break down the meat and the potatoes. You find somebody, you court some, you're a friend, you have a friendship, then you have a courtship, you have a relationship. And if it is moving properly, then you go into the marriage. People try to control the narrative of what the universe has already put out here for us. You can't control that narrative in that way. So when you don't demand what you deserve, then you're left accepting what is given to you. And people never forgive themselves for what they accept, but they don't know any better. They don't know any better. And so they're not forgiving themselves, and therefore they can't properly forgive this other person, or that forgiveness is half-assed. Well, I forgive you. Let's just keep trying to work it out. No, a lot of times forgiveness means to take accountability, forgive yourself, forgive that person, and move on. And that's the hard part that people cannot move on from. You know, when you get to that point in a situation of marriage, that's a whole nother level. You have to then and go to God about everything. You got to pray about it, because that's who has their hands on it, to allow it to happen, to allow it to unfold, to allow yourself to be embodied. That's who has their hand. God has their hands. God has his hands, his her hands on your marriage, right? And so that's a battle that you don't have to fight, but that we try to fight because we look at social media. We look at, you know, we look at these things that, oh, well, you try me, I'm going to get a divorce. When divorce should never be where you at. You know, when it comes to a connection, you have to lead with forgiveness. How do you think our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers, the people that we've seen grow up in these long-term marriages, we want to be able to say times were different and they needed money. Well, we need money more than ever because, you know, I just seen on the news they said that people are using 30% of their income on groceries. So we in those same times right now. They got there because of forgiveness. They got there because they were in their software era. You have some people that have never been in relationships, never been in a serious relationship. You got some people that have never been married because they didn't know how to require marriage. They didn't know how to be in that energy, you know, to require marriage. So therefore they never got married. You know, they didn't see it. You know, they grew up seeing some crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, they only know what they've seen. But when we learn the art of forgiveness, the art of forgiveness is going to put us in a place spiritually that we had never been before. We can say, ah, I don't forgive. I ain't forgiving that. I ain't doing that. We I ain't gonna never forgive you for this. And when I hear somebody say that, I know that they're coming from a hurt place. I know that they're coming from a traumatic place. I know that they're coming from an unhealed place, because there should never be a time in your life that you say, I will never forgive you. No matter what situation you're in, whether courtship, situationship, friendship, relationship, or marriage, you should never, you always have to forgive. Because forgiving someone is saying, I'm not going to allow you to keep me in the space of hurt. I'm not going to allow you to keep me in this space of trauma. I am not trauma bonding with you. I'm in it. I see it. I acknowledge it. I've sat with it. I've let it go. Right? And that's what saying forgiveness is to somebody. Like, I'm letting this go. Right? I'm allowing you to have this, and I'm letting this go. Now, however the universe will want that to play out after you let it go is between your oppressor and the universe. You know, the oppressor is the one who wronged you. Oppressor is the one who betrayed you. The oppressor is the one who has to deal with that. But you don't stand in your own way, and you forgive them. I know a lot of married men will say, the only thing that I can't forgive is my wife cheated on me. My wife cheated on me. Oh, my God. Life is over. You know what I'm saying? Like, when a man, we've talked about this before, if you guys have been following us, when a man is, you know, when a man devotes his life, like, he mean that shit, you know? And he's like, that's the one thing. No, you can't cheat on me. You can't cheat on me. No. That's the end all. That man could cheat every Monday at 2 p.m. Every single Monday at 2 p.m. But one time, oh, I'll never forgive you. His heart got ripped out of his chest, his brain, and his feet. You know, like, the world is over, right? Why do you think men are like that? Do you think they're selfish? No. Do you think they're childish? No. See, when we started listening to these people that taught us that, you know, roles can be reversed and women can be independent and so on and so forth. We were never created that way. Women were created to be the submissive. And you have women that were created to be leaders, right? But you still have to submit and honor your partner, right, your husband. And so in our tradition, you know, our men can have multiple wives, right? But it has to be done a certain way in order for it to be blessed. And so cheating has never been, it's a stupid word, right? Because we are all human, and you have to be connected with your person to know where they are when it comes down to what they like, what they want to do. You know, you have to be your person's, hey, is this what you want to do? This is what you like, what it is. You have to have those conversations for safety reasons, for acknowledgement and all those things. These are things that we have to do. Because I've said plenty of times, cheating is just the craziest word. And even though you're married to someone, yes, you own them, but you have to be more, you know, understanding that a man is supposed to be protective and the provider, right? And so when we hear the word protective, we think of security. We hear the word provider, we think of financial. And it's quite that's the shallowest part of that. Provided. Don't you want that man to provide you security? Don't you want that man to provide you peace? Don't you want that man to provide you love? Don't you want that man to provide you with direction, the same thing as leading? Don't you want that man to, you know, provide you comfort, right? Yeah, you want that man to provide financially, but financially that's not all that stands for. Don't you want that man to protect the marriage? Don't you want that man to protect your heart? Don't you want that man to, you know, protect the home? You know, we have to look deeper and go back to our original source so that we can truly understand what forgiveness is, and we can truly embody, you know, forgiveness as a whole. We choose, we pick and choose. We have children, we forgive our children all the time. You got that man that you just can't let go because the thing good. You got that woman that you can't let go because the thing. You pick and choose who you want to forgive, and forgiveness is not, it's a blanket. You can't just be like, well, I'm going to forgive them, but then you get into it with your family. I never forgive you. That's not how that works. You got to forgive everyone that comes against you. You have to forgive everyone that has tried you. So this conversation tonight is about closing doors, right? Now, you can close these doors one or two ways, and I'm going to give you the one or two ways, but I want everybody that listens to this message to try one or two ways to close doors. And if you try it even more, let me know next week, right? Because this is going to be, next week is the last show before we take our break. Let me know next week how you feel after you close these doors, right? Anybody that has wronged you and you say, oh, I can't forgive you for that, that was fucked up. Even if you didn't, you know, verbalize, I can't forgive you, and you even thought that in your head, or the feeling was in your heart, like, oh, you a snake, you know, I'm never dealing with you, da da da. One, you can call that person this week. You know, we had this situation, and I just want to call you and let you know that I forgive you. You know, life happens, da da da. You don't have to rekindle anything. You could just be like, yeah, it's cool. I just want to let you know I forgive you, and I hope you have a good day. End the call. If you don't have it in you, because some people have done some heinous things, right? And you don't have it in you to be able to pick up the phone and call them, I want you to write them a letter. I want you to get a red pen or a red marker, and I want you to get some paper that has no lines on it. And I want you to sit down and write them a Dear John, a Dear Jane letter. And I don't care how many pieces of paper it takes, but I want you to take your time out, and I want you to write down, this is what you did to me. This is how that made me feel. And I release this energy right now in this letter. I forgive you. I am healed. I am no longer bonding with the energy that you have put over my life. And I pray that you enjoy your life. And you sit with that letter, you read over that letter. Even you may get teary-eyed. But once you do that, I want you to sit out on your balcony, or I want you to sit by your window in your house and open up that window and get you one of those steel bowls that, you know, can't burn. And I want you to burn that letter. And I want you to let that smoke go out of that window if you can't go to that side. And that's for everybody that you feel has wronged you. Some of y'all are going to be sitting there with like 20 letters because, you know, you in a victim mentality versus a survivor mentality. Some of y'all got some baby mamas and baby daddies and some mamas and some daddies. It doesn't matter if they're still living, if they're not. Sit down and try this practice. And let me know next week how you feel about releasing the hurt that someone has caused you. And sometimes you may think, I feel like a sucker. You know, I ain't even get my lick back. Not about you getting your lick back. But when you allow your spirit guide to get their lick back, when you allow God to get the lick back versus you, baby, you're going to feel way better because you're going to be able to experience it. You're going to know about it. Whether you know about it immediately, whether you know about it later, you put it in your spirit guide's hands and you just allow the situation to be what it is, okay? So this is my exercise for you guys. For the spiritual conversation, it's about releasing, it's about forgiveness, because we are carrying this baggage, and we know it's hard to forgive people, especially when they've wronged you, especially when they knew better, but you got to start forgiving yourself, right? And you got to forgive yourself, and you got to forgive these people, and you got to let it go so that you can lighten up your spirit. If you got if your energy and your soul and your chakras are weighted down with all of this trauma, because that's what it is, it's an emotional baggage. What is baggage? It's weight. So you are weighted down with all of these different things in your life that has caused conflict, that has hurt you, that have made you feel away, and all of a sudden you're releasing this baggage. What are you going to do? You're going to ascend. You're lighter. You can't ascend spiritually. You can't ascend mentally. You can't ascend if you're weighted down. And it has nothing to do with physical weight. It's about the mental and the spiritual weight. So let's get this baggage off together. Let's grow. Let's expand. Let's release. And let's look forward to a whole new future. Pluto is in Aquarius. This is the best time to get right so that your blessings could come in. Ashe. That was my spiritual conversation. Mo, you had anything to say?
That was deep. That was deep. Things I'll add, because let's take this to 10 o'clock, and then I can take it from there. But the thing that I could add is, forgiveness is a good thing, but it's two things I'll say. One, I'll say the one thing that in my life that I was very grateful for, that I was able to forgive before, you know, this person transcended, was my father, you know, because growing up, me and my pop didn't have the best relationship, you know what I'm saying? But now, you know, when I got to be a man and to see how life is, he was just figuring shit out, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, thank God, that I was able to be brought into this world because, you know, a lot of times, you know, abortions and things happen, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, no matter what I felt about my father at the time, you know what I'm saying, I still have to give him the respect that he gave me life, you know what I'm saying, and the love that he gave me life, and I'm a product of him, you know what I'm saying, no matter how I try to, it is what it is to a certain extent when it comes to that. So, you know, and then the memories that I have of us, you know, when I became an adult and me being forgiven and being that energy was some of my best memories that I can remember, you know what I'm saying? Of just that, I guess it's just a connection, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, that person, you know, you're connected. That's your father, you know what I'm saying? And And, you know, life is precious because, you know, once that person's gone, you know, you're the embodiment of that person. And then, you know, you can kind of carry on tradition and whatever things that he stumbled in, you know, you can excel in because, you know, I look at him as an example. So that's one thing, you know, that I'm grateful for, you know what I'm saying, that that I was able to, you know, have that because a lot of people maybe don't have that, you know what I'm saying? So I was able to get closure with that. So so that's one thing. But there's another side of the spectrum. And the other side of the spectrum is interesting because I've seen examples and, you know, where just, I don't know, certain things can be kind of unforgivable. And I know what you're saying, it kind of goes against that. But certain things, certain codes, certain things, no matter what. And there's two examples I can give, right? I don't know if you ever seen this movie called Heat. It came out in like the mid-90s. It was starring Robert De Niro, Val Kilmer, Al Pacino. Very good movie, right? And I haven't seen it in years, but it was this one scene that stuck with me. And it was Robert De Niro, right? His character was so ill in this movie because, you know, he just didn't play no games, you know what I'm saying? He had a certain way of doing things. You know, he was like a bank robber and shit like that. And, you know, and then Al Pacino was like the cop trying to, you know, get him. But they had respect for each other because they both was at the top of their professions, you know what I'm saying? And Robert De Niro, you know, you always put together a team and everybody had to play their positions, and that's how he was so successful. But it was this one dude that crossed him, you know what I'm saying, crossed him, and he was just like, whoa. And so long story short, we get to the end of the movie. You know, they did this, like, one of the biggest, and he was doing, like, his last run, you know what I'm saying? His last one was going to be his last bank robbery, but it was going to be a big take, and he needed a, you know, a whole team, and once again, everybody played a position. And, you know, come to find out, he was successful. Everything went his way. He met, like, a female, you know what I'm saying? And he had the money set up, so, you know, he was all ready to leave, and he could have been with the female and been happily ever after. But he knew this one dude. He knew where this one dude was at. And he was like, you know what? Fuck that. And he went back and dealt with this dude. And, you know, of course, you know, he wasn't able to, he got caught up. I don't even remember what happened because it's been a while, but I don't know if he got killed or he went to jail or something like that. But to him, that meant more than living happily ever after. You know what I'm saying? So that's one example, you know, and it's just interesting how that happens. And then another one, a real life example, is Tupac. Tupac Shakur. Tupac, you know, got crossed. And it's funny because we was having this conversation. I was having this conversation with some associates, you know, real quick. And, you know, I want to get your take on the two things I just said, you know what I'm saying, before we get into the world famous chopper. But so, of course, we know the Bob Marley movie is out now, right? I don't think I'm going to see it. If I, you know, I don't know, I might see it if it comes on cable later on or whatever, but I'm a big Bob Marley fan, you know. Probably Bob Marley is probably one of the reasons why that and the Chronic album was probably, you know, one of the reasons why I started smoking weed, even though I don't smoke weed as much as I used to. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, I do a lot of, you know, I'm in Brooklyn, so, you know, it's a Jamaican community in Brooklyn, so I got, like, Jamaican friends, Jamaican associates and stuff like that. So, hey, I was having this conversation, and it was like, oh, you know, Bob Marley, I don't know if there's any American person that can be compared to, like, a Bob Marley, you know what I'm saying, as far as, you know, I guess the global impact, you know, the Rastafarian type stuff. And I kind of agree to a certain extent, because I don't look at it, oh, you Jamaican, you know, American, you might be from this part of Africa, and I'm American. You know, if you black, we all black. We all melanated people. So I don't get into all the dividing type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I look at, you know, culturally us all over the planet. You know what I'm saying? As one. That's how I've always been. So I was agreeing, like, yeah, Bob Marley, and then I think somebody said Michael Jackson. And I was like, nah, I don't agree. But some people are like, yeah, Michael Jackson. But, you know, I don't like what Michael Jackson did to himself as far as, like, the color of his skin and all that stuff and all that, right? But long story short, I said probably the closest person that I can think of is, like, a Tupac, right? Now, Tupac probably wasn't as righteous as Bob Marley, you know what I'm saying, because Tupac, you know, was in a situation or whatever. But as far as, you know, impact and, you know, the way they both, you know, when you look at Tupac, you know, you always see him and, you know, he was, like, at the height of his prime, you know what I'm saying? He was, like, you know, and same thing with Bob Marley. You know, when you see images of Bob Marley, you always see that younger image because they both died, you know, relatively young. I know Bob Marley died in his, you know, mid-30s or something like that, and Tupac died in his mid-20s or whatever. But they both essentially died, you know, very young compared to growing older or growing wiser. So I say that to say this. Tupac, you know, he could have talked it out eventually and was like, you know what, I forgive person you were talking about earlier in the conversation, a Puff, a Biggie Smalls, whoever else was there when, you know, he got robbed and shot up and seemed like left for dead. But he was like, you know, and I think he was probably in that energy at some time, but for some reason he was like, you know what, fuck that. And we all know what happened, but, you know, that's respectable too. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just, you know, life happens. And, you know, over time, there's been all types of examples where, you know, some people forgive, but some people just don't. You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's the two examples that I have. So what do you got to think? What do you say about that, Black?
Well, first of all, for your spiritual portion, I love that, you know, and growth is very important. And we have to keep in mind that sometimes we feel wronged by people that we love dearly. We may feel a way and we overcompensate by thinking of the happy times with that person and pushing to the bottom the hurt that they've done, and then it carries on that baggage for years. So we also want to always make sure that we look at the situations on both sides and heal from whatever that was. This whole Diddy thing, man, you already know I done did. I'm so over these people talking about Diddy. But they put it out there because they know how we are. They know how we are. There's so many people like, man, I'm not even watching the blogs right now. It's crazy. Or they're not even talking about it. If they go, they check in to see if something new is out, and then they just keep moving. They're trying to see what type of interaction. They got bots that's interacting and AI interacting with this stuff, making you think that people care about it, and people really don't care about this shit. But, you know, this is what they pushing on you. You know, and so I find I go on the social media side where there's comedy, where there's something funny, there's enlightenment. You know, that's the side of social media that I'm on. And so you have to pick your sides, and you have to pick what you ingest, because, again, we talked about this. Your eyes are your ears, too. They say, oh, you have one set of ears. You have two, because your eyes are your ears, too. So we have to be mindful of what we ingest. We have to stop judging people, because most of the time when you're so busy investing in somebody else's business, it's because your life is fucked up. So, you know, it's about healing and growing and doing what needs to be done for you. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. That's me. That's my take on it.
All right. So that's what's up. So with that being the case, you know what I'm saying? So once again, that was a spiritual conversation, of course. This was the first Sunday of the month, so, you know, each first Sunday, you know, is always a spiritual conversation with SGMO Ben. So big shout out to Black. And, you know, tonight's topic was learning to forgive. Hey, hold on. I got to turn my light on. What was it? I was just relaxing in the dark, so just getting to my notes. So, yeah, once again, tonight's topic was learning to forgive when it's the hardest thing to do. So, you know, a big shout-out to Black for that. So with that being the case, I'm going to get into my favorite part of the show. And this is the part of the show where I get a chance to talk my shit on certain things that I thought was interesting throughout the week and bring to the world-famous Chop Up and speak on it. So without further ado, let's get into it. So before I get into the world-famous Chop Up, my shit, Black, was there anything in the news that you was tripping on that you was like, you know what, I'm going to bring it to the world-famous Chop Up and we're going to speak on it?
No, not anything tripping on. Shout out to President Trump. He won Iowa. He won Michigan this past week. They still, you know, running and got a couple more places that he need to win so that he can fully face off with Joe Biden. They did have another Democrat as a spiritualist that jumped back in the race. And she's like, you know, I'm going to come. She was in it. She felt she jumped out. And then she came back in it and she was like, no, because I really want, you know, Biden needs to come, you know, get pushed out. You know, Biden doesn't need to run. It's a long shot.
Well, Biden has to run for the Democratic side. There's nobody
yeah,
can take
she,
that
she's trying to. She's trying to be.
All she can do is endorse him.
Yeah, she's trying to. She's trying to get up there and also run. Be run against Biden. But Trump is making headway. Trump is making noise.
No, but what I'm saying is she can't run against Biden. It's only Biden. What I'm saying is she can't run against Biden on the Democratic side. The only person that can run is somebody can challenge Trump on his side. But Biden is no matter.
He tried to get on the Democratic ballot, bro. I'm gonna send you the video. She's trying to get on the Democratic ballot. Was it Democratic ballot? No, I think Democratic ballot. I'm gonna send you the video, but she's a white woman, and I'm like, why do they only have women? Like, this country is so male chauvinistic that they're not gonna let a woman get in that position. They're just not. The only woman that could possibly run and win is Michelle Obama. So yeah, it's crazy. Trump has been putting up wins, and I'm waiting to hear what you say about Trump because I know you watch Trump campaign as much as I do. Trump 2024, all day. We have been Trump supporters for 8 years, and it ain't gonna stop. Please don't listen to these people saying do not vote. Please go vote. Your vote needs to be heard. Yeah, let's see what you've been following with Trump, man. Congratulations to President.
Yeah, well,
Trump.
Well, you know, Trump. The only thing I'm gonna say once again, the only news I have with Trump this week is like, you know, he is, like I said at the beginning of the show, he is my inspiration for this week. You know what I'm saying? Hustling through the bullshit because you know I touched on the whole Trump thing last week. You know what I'm saying? As far as him getting hit with the fine. $355 million in New York. But like I said, it hasn't stopped him. You know, I talked about it last week. You know, I did talk about it on Tuesday's edition of the World Famous Chop Up. You know, you can always check that out. You know, anybody out there listening to it, you know, I kind of went in depth a little bit. I definitely went in depth last week. But, me and my co-host Kev Hurt, you know, shout out to the Tuesday edition, like I said, you know, of course, we come to you on Blog Talk Radio, me and Black, SGMO Benz, of course. This is the foundation. But the spinoff show is every Tuesday, you know what I'm saying? So basically, to be plugged into that, you know, just follow Mo Benz, MOBINNS, or at Rap Sports Life. And, you know, yeah, it goes up on Twitter Spaces or X, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it was a very interesting conversation, you know what I'm saying? And, as you know, cause we're in 2024. So as we progress and, things, you know, come to, you know, if I see things as interesting, especially that I see the people aren't really picking up on, I'm gonna definitely bring it. But the only thing I'm going to just be watching out for is, you know, his appeal to this fine. You know, if he has to, you know, pay the fine, or, you know, after they, you know, reduce the fine or get rid of it, or, you know, so that part interests me, you know what I'm saying, because big business. I was like, it was a billionaire's boys club type of, you know, type of story. But the other thing I've been paying attention to was, you know, being that he got fined, because that's $355 million. It can balloon all the way up to over $400 million with interest. So I don't care if, you know, a billionaire or not. I don't care how much money you got. That's a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? So so it's just interesting to see. But the part I do like is the perseverance. And I was just saying how this is going to be fuel for his campaign. You know what I'm saying? I think now he wants the presidency more than ever. You know what I'm saying? So once again, you know, big shout out, man. So let's make America great again, at least financially. So, you know, that's all I really got to say, you know, this week. But as I always do now, you know what I'm saying, I always like to give the exclusive here first as far as what I'm going to be previewing, you know, what I'm working on for Tuesday's edition of the World Famous Chop Up. So, you know, this Tuesday edition, this is what I'm kind of working on. So, shout out. Somebody gave me a, because, you know, if you've been listening to the show, what was it? Thanksgiving Eve, right? I ordered Stars, you know what I'm saying? It was like a plan. I forgot. I think it was like $5 for like 2 months or something like that. And I hadn't had Stars at that point, like 2 years, you know what I'm saying? So I was able to, you know, over the holiday season, binge watch all my favorite Star shows, from Power Book 2, Raising Kanan, Magnum Force, you know, BMF, you know what I'm saying? So I was able to get caught up on everything. But, you know, I'm a stickler for this, you know what I'm saying? So once my time was up, I wasn't about to play like a penny more. So once it ended, I, you know, made sure I cut it off, and I just paid the $5, you know what I'm saying, for the 2 months, because I like to just be on top of my shit, you know what I'm saying, no matter how big or how small, right? That's just how I run my financials, right? So with that being said, you know, I saw everything all the way up until, like, the last two episodes of Raising Kanan, and then now BMF, you know, it just premiered, I think, last Saturday or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. Or Friday, some shit. Or last week. This might be the second week now. But I got the hookup, man. So I got the hookup. So you know how I would be. You know what I'm saying? So somebody gave me the hookup. I was conversating about it. It's like, you know, boom. Right? So anyway, long story short, got a chance. I saw, because as far as Raising Kanan, I was up into the last two episodes. So I saw this morning, actually. I watched like 10 episodes. So I watched episode 9, dope episode. You know, Raiden Kane, I can't wait to watch the finale. I'm gonna watch that maybe later on tonight, or, you know, sometime this week. You know what I'm saying? I've been grinding. Big shout out to the real estate grind. I've really been on top of my shit, you know, as far as getting things together, especially going into the busier season. So just getting my ducks in a row. But anyway, I say all that to say this. Yeah, I can't wait to watch the season finale. And then probably next week I'll tell you, you know, what I thought about Raising Kanan this season. But that's not even what I'm going to be talking about on the show. So I'm going to be talking about BMF, at least like the first episode, the first two episodes. So BMF, big shout out. This season is going to be Big Meech. And, you know, if you've been following BMF, anybody out there listening, the first two seasons, pretty dope, you know, but it was like the Great Lakes version of BMF by way of Detroit. So it was him and his brother. It's basically Meech and Terry. And them starting out their whole, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? Their whole hustle, you know. And they started out in Detroit. You know, big shout out to Detroit, one of my favorite cities. Oh, man, I really, really, really fell in love with Detroit on my last trip out there. But it was dope, you know what I'm saying? So it really, you know, because this is based on a true story. So first two seasons was, you know, straight Great Lakes, Detroit. And then, you know, the last couple of episodes of the second season, you see, you know, Meech and his brother Terry going down to Atlanta, starting to get, you know, seeing how it is. With the finale of Meech, like, you know what, I think it's best if, you know, if Terry, his brother, stays in Detroit and I just get it popping down in Atlanta, you know what I'm saying, let's switch it up. So that's what this, you know, season is going to entail. So I think me and Kev, we're going to chop it up because I know he's a big fan of BMF. He's like the type of dude that I think that's the only, one of the only shows he watches. So so it'd be cool, you know what I'm saying? Go back and forth, talk about that. So that's that'll be, I believe, probably like the first topic, you know what I'm saying? Because I know a lot of people is kind of excited about this this season of BMF, especially since now it's finally in Atlanta now. But shout out to Detroit because Detroit was dope. So anyway, so that's that. And then secondly, you know, of course, this is the world famous Chop Up. So I am known for my music reviews, and we are known for our music reviews on the Tuesday edition of the World Famous Chop Up. So this Tuesday, this week, was going to be reviewing Uncle Murda's new album. It's called The Lenny Grant Story. And big shout out to Uncle Murda. You know what I'm saying? Of course, Uncle Murda's been around for a while, you know, straight out of Brooklyn. You know, he's from East New York, Brooklyn. And for the people out there just on the outside looking in, as far as Brooklyn, right, Brooklyn is one of those boroughs that is gentrified. You know, my area is, people call it Flatbush, but the fancy name is Prospect Park, Leffers Gardens. So all across Brooklyn, all the neighborhoods in Brooklyn have been gentrified. And, you know, and I don't mind it because, you know, I've been here for a while now. So I've seen, and my neighborhood is a very Caribbean neighborhood, you know. So big shout out to, you know, all my Caribbean people, you know, all the island people, you know what I'm saying, all the island black people, you know, up and down Flatbush, right? Very Caribbean neighborhood. But I've seen the gentrification, and, you know, I'm with it, you know what I'm saying. I don't mind it at all. A lot of nice restaurants and, you know, right by the park. So it's good. But especially with this real estate ish, man, just, you know, I really get a chance to kind of analyze it and know the neighborhoods. But there's two neighborhoods in Brooklyn that's still not gentrified, and it's still, you know what I'm saying, I don't even want to show apartments or anything like that late at night in these places because it's still thorough in these places. So you want to be careful. And one of those neighborhoods is Brownsville, New York. That's where Mike Tyson's from. One of my good friend associates is actually from Brownsville, but, you know, still a place you don't want to really mess around in. And then the other one is East New York. And East New York is where Uncle Murda's from. So it'd be interesting. You know, I've listened to the album. Pretty good album. You know, we're going to really dissect it on Tuesday. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Of course, Uncle Murda, he's known for the wrap up now, you know, started by Skills from Virginia Mad Skills, I think his name used to be. But the last few years, I would say the last 4 years, at least 4 or 5 years, maybe now, Uncle Murda does the wrap up. This year wasn't, you know, last year was really like the best one. The 2022 wrap-up was like the best. You know what I'm saying? 2023, which was this past new year, it was all right. I think he did it in sections that kind of threw me off. But for the first time, this is the first album, you know, and Uncle Murda, you know, Uncle Murda's been around for a while. You know what I'm saying? Even before the wrap-up, you know, he's been like an underground mixtape rapper for a while. I'm talking about early 2000s. But, yeah, this is the first album that I've really, like, all right, you know what I'm saying? It's, like, the perfect time. I'm like, all right, you know, he's at the status now where, all right, I can really, you know, listen to a whole album now. And it's pretty good, you know what I'm saying? So Like I said, we're definitely going to be basically, you know, breaking that down. So that'll be the second topic. And the third topic, now, big shout out to YouTube. You know, YouTube is one of my favorite guilty pleasures now. You know what I'm saying? So after I finish, you know, doing my whatever I'm into, you know, doing whatever, you know, work I got to do, I like to just come home, relax, and just watch YouTube now. You know what I'm saying? And if you've been listening and following the show for the, you know, past few years, for the longest time, I could care less about YouTube. I only went to YouTube if I was trying to figure something out. But now, you know what I'm saying, now that I got an algorithm, and, oh, man, it's like heaven sent, man. It's like, oh, man, just I can time travel or with YouTube. I can, you know, whatever I want to kind of research is right there, man. I got it organized in a way where it's just my algorithm is just, like, on point. So I say that to say this. Of course, I am a basketball, you know, I like to be, I call my co-host the basketball aficionado because I used to play a little bit, but never, like, organized, you know. But, you know, I got a love for basketball because, you know, if the elements is right, you know, I'll still get out there and hoop. But the elements got to be right, and I ain't going to get into all that. But, you know, I still like basketball, you know what I'm saying, of course. But the NBA, and I've talked about it, you know, has been a little soft now, you know what I'm saying? I just don't like it as much as I used to, you know what I'm saying? Because, I don't know, it's just a new era now, you know. I really dig playoff basketball. I did like the All-Star weekend this year. And being that we're in the second half of the season, you know, we're gearing up for the playoffs. Even last week on a world-famous chop-up, you know, I got a chance to really, you know, do a preview, you know what I'm saying? So if you checked out the show last week, you know, I really did an in-depth preview because now, once again, the football season is over. I'm all in on basketball. So, you know, I look at myself, and I am a basketball analyst. So you ain't got to turn on ESPN. You ain't got to turn on Fox Sports. You can just, you know, tune into the world-famous chop-up, and I'll put you on, you know what I'm saying? And I like to put ladies on, too. So, ladies, if you're out there listening, I try not to get long-winded. I try to keep it nice and just short and sweet. So, you know, you can skip gist of the game. So if you're sitting there with your husband or your boyfriend or whatever the case may be, and, you know, you're watching basketball, you can be entertained because you'll know what to look for. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I say all that to say this. The third topic of the night would be vintage NBA. And the reason why I was bigging up YouTube is because now, and I was saying time travel, now even if I'm not watching an NBA game on that's like, you know, live or whatever, you know, from you know, like this season or whatever. Because another reason why, and we'll probably get into this on another day as far as a topic, but the reason why the NFL is king and the NBA has kind of, you know, just, you know, in a second place is because the matchups. The NFL does a great job of doing the best matchups, you know, making sure they're on TV, storylines and whatever. And the NBA now, I guess with the commissioner, Adam Silver, who's the commissioner now, it was much better with David Stern. But Adam Silver's been the commissioner for the past, you know, 10, 15 years now. But, you know, it just seems that you're seeing the Lakers games and they're just trying to put these markets and keep these same old storylines going. And they're not putting teams that's on a come up, you know, up. They're not what we'll call flexing the games out. So, like, if it's a game that, you know, maybe at the beginning of the season it seemed like it was going to be a good matchup, but because of injuries and whatnot, you know, now it's not as attractive a matchup. Flex to with a new game, you know what I'm saying, because there's good matchups on it, you know, every night, you know, for the most part. So just make sure that matchup is the game that's on TNT or ESPN, and I think you'll have a much better product. But I say all that to say this. My vintage NBA, you know, I can go back now. So any, you know, my algorithms, if there's any a vintage Michael Jordan game, or a vintage Allen Iverson game, or a vintage Kobe Bryant game, or a vintage Magic Johnson game, you know, and it was a good matchup. It was like, you know, Jordan versus the Bad Boy Pistons or something like that. I'm just, oh, man, save that. Put that in my vintage NBA category. If there's a interview or, you know, something just, you know, this, you know, of interest, you know what I'm saying? I'm putting it into my vintage NBA category. So now when I want to relax or if I want to, you know, just watch something, I don't have to watch whatever game that's shown on TNT or ESPN, especially if I don't like the matchup. Turn on my vintage NBA and, you know, let me see, you know, a Bulls playoff game from the 90s when, you know, Michael Jordan, Pippen, and, you know, Phil Jackson was coaching. Or let me see a Lakers game from the early 2000s with Kobe, Shaq, and you know, and Phil Jackson. Or, you know, whatever. Or, you know, a LeBron, Cleveland game when LeBron was in Cleveland or something like that. So, I see all that to say this. Especially now that I say the late, great Kobe, you know what I'm saying? Now we've been a few years, you know, it's been like, what, 4 years since Kobe transcended. I really got a whole new respect for Kobe. I mean, I always dug Kobe, you know, as far as his game or whatever. But now it just hits, it hits different now that he's no longer here. And just the way he carried himself when it came to having that Mamba mentality, you know what I'm saying? And I admire that, you know what I'm saying? He was with the Lakers his whole career, you know, never switched teams. And that's rare, you know, now, you know what I'm saying, especially in the era we're in now. So anyway, and then Michael Jordan. And of course, Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan. You know, that's the – you know, everybody's GOAT for the most part, right? Because what Jordan brought to the game, the sneakers, the swag, the Bulls, the way he just, you know, just dominated the 90s as far as NBA basketball was something we've never seen. You know, six straight trips, I mean, three-peats, you know, six total trips to the finals, six finals wins, six MVPs. Of course, you know what I'm saying? But there was a Michael Jordan before he got with, you know, Pippen and Phil Jackson, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, the first three-peat they had Horace Grant, and then the second three-peat they had Dennis Rodman. But before, you know, so there was the Jordan before in the 80s, you know, when he was a talent, but the team wasn't as good, you know what I'm saying? But he was a unbeatable talent. I mean, that's not an unbeatable talent. You knew he had talent is what I'm trying to say. Definitely not unbeatable because he lost. He didn't win into the 90s. You know what I'm saying? So that's when, you know, Magic, the Lakers, Showtime. That's when you had Larry Bird, the Celtics. You know what I'm saying? That's when you had the Bad Boy Pistons, Isaiah, Joe Dumars, and Bill Laimbeer, coached by Chuck Daly. You know what I'm saying? So you had that Jordan. You know, the gold chain Jordan, so to speak. You know, when he had the Jordan 1s on, or the Chicago jerseys that didn't say Bulls, but it said Chicago across the front. You know, young Jordan, when he had the Dark Caesar, you know what I'm saying, before he had the ball head. That Jordan, when he had the, you know, little gold chain on as he's hooping. That Jordan, the one that, you know, when he, you know, went up against Dominique Wilkins in a dunk contest. That's the Jordan I'm talking about, right? But he wasn't, you know, he was dominating individually, putting up numbers, but he wasn't winning championships. Then, of course, you have the Washington Wizards Jordan, which I think is very, very interesting, because the Washington Wizards Jordan was the Jordan that was transitioning from a player to an owner, you know what I'm saying, to like a just a straight-up businessman. But at the same time, this is Michael Jordan, so he's like, you know, I can still hoop. So those Wizard years were very interesting because, you know, of course, in the 80s, Jordan was just a young phenomenon. You've never seen nothing like him. The 90s, you know, got with the right coach, got the right team, and he won championships. And then, you know, but Jordan going against Magic Johnson, going against Larry Bird, going against Isaiah Thomas. That was the era. That was the 80s. In the 90s, going against Clyde Drexler, going against Magic, older Magic, going against Charles Barkley, going against John Stockton Malone, going against Sean Kemp, Gary Payton, you know, beating Patrick Ewing, beating my Cavs, all that type of shit, right? But in the 2000s, when he came back, because remember, Jordan retired in 98. He comes back in 2001, 2002, you know, for 2002, 2003. He comes back those 2 years after, you know, being the general manager with the Washington Wizards. And now that Jordan now is like, he's the older Jordan, and he's going against Allen Iverson. He's going against Kobe Bryant. He's going against all these Tracy McGrady and Vince Carter and all these new wave players. And that's very interesting. So I say all that to say this. Kobe, you know, Kobe, you know, and every, because I got so many matchups of him and Kobe, you know what I'm saying? I got, you know, when he was still in the 90s, Jordan, you know what I'm saying? The 98 Bulls, you know what I'm saying? When basically Kobe's like rookie season, you know what I'm saying? And you're seeing that, you're seeing Kobe go at Jordan. You know what I'm saying? And you see it's coming. You see the All-Star game. And you see Jordan still, you know, was still Jordan. But then you see when he comes back, and now it's Kobe. You know what I'm saying? Kobe's in his prime now, and Jordan's on the back end. And you see just Kobe giving him the business. So I say all that to say this, man. I think it'll be a fun conversation. Michael or Kobe, pick one. And before, I would no doubt said MJ, you know, Michael Jordan all day, because, you know, Kobe learned from Michael Jordan. But now, the more and more I look at it, man, just his work ethic or whatever, I'm kind of on the fence, man. I don't even know now. So, you know, that'll be a vintage NBA conversation, because, you know, we always put LeBron in there and all that type of stuff. But let's put LeBron to the side for a minute and just focus on Michael and Kobe, because their games mirror each other much better than like a LeBron. LeBron is just different. LeBron is a Jordan mixed with Magic Johnson. You know what I'm saying? But Michael and Kobe is like, they're both like the same height. They both got the same moves. They both got the work ethic. But Kobe, like I said, you know, was with the Lakers, 5 championships, Mamba mentality. Then you got, you know, Michael Jordan and the Bulls, you know what I'm saying, especially that 90s run. But we don't talk about the Wizards, Jordan. You got to, you know, that's a part of the conversation, because no matter what, you lace up the sneakers, you come out on the court, you know, I got to analyze the game. So be interesting, an interesting conversation. So, you know, those are the three topics that I'm, you know, gonna articulate and chop it up this Tuesday. So, you know, definitely check it out. Like I said, that's gonna be coming to you this coming Tuesday, Twitter Tuesday. You know, and like I said, to be plugged in, just follow Mo Benz, and that's every Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. You know what I'm saying? So tell a friend to tell a friend. And it's going up. So let's see here. So what else we got? So another interesting thing, and I think I you know, I was on Twitter, you know what I'm saying, late night, and I was like, oh, shit, fumbled on a conversation, and it's up now. So once again, shout out to YouTube. So I'm kind of watching that too. But I sent this to Black. I don't know if Black got a chance to check it out, but I sent it to him on Twitter. But basically, Cat Williams is on the Joe Rogan show, or the Joe Rogan podcast. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of Joe Rogan as far as his podcast. I'll only maybe watch it if there's somebody on there that's interesting. I've seen, like, snippets when he had Elon Musk. That was probably the only episode I even seen parts of, but I know his podcast is very popular. You know, and then, of course, I watched this hunting show called Meat Eater. And Joe Rogan has been on there a couple of times hunting. So, you know, he's a interesting character, you know what I'm saying? But he's a deep thinker. I don't agree with a lot of stuff he has to say a lot of times, but he thinks deep. I've seen Joe Rogan when he was on Mike Tyson's podcast. Shout out to Hot Boxing. And then, of course, Cat Williams, You know, he was him and Club Shay Shay or Shannon Sharp. They broke the internet. You know what I'm saying, going into the new year, and then so that was a very interesting interview. And then Cat Williams, he was on Willie D's joint. That was an interesting sit down. And now he's on Joe Rogan. Like a 3-hour interview. You know, I probably watched like the first hour earlier today. Just relaxing or whatever. I told y'all just chilling today. But very interesting, man. Two deep thinkers, man. Like just going back and forth, man. Really saying some stuff that really, really makes a lot of sense. Because I'm a thinker like that too, like on that level. Especially when, you know, I don't even have to say weed, but sometimes weed enhances it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm always just, you know, connecting dots as far as history and everything, making it all make sense. So after I finish, you know, watching the whole thing, I'll probably, you know, come back and give you my thoughts. But so far, so good, man. Very, very, very interesting conversation those two are having about a lot of different things. You know, one thing that really caught my eye, and this is the thing that I saw on Twitter, the snippet was when Cat Williams was talking about the whole transgender type of situation and how, you know, he saw that, you know, by reading the Bible and knowing about this character. And this character, I've seen this character, you know, this character is like, I think it's called I can't even pronounce it, but it starts with a B. But it's like a transgender character. He's got like a goat head, this, but he's transgender. And it just talks about how, like, you know, you're seeing that, you know what I'm saying? And that's the essence of this character from, you know, I don't want to say ancient times, but, you know, just a character that's been talked about, you know what I'm saying, in ancient history. And he's seeing it come full circle. And it was interesting that Cat Williams pointed that out, because I've always seen the image of that. But now it kind of makes sense when you really kind of, you know, look at the times that we're in and some of the things that are getting pushed, some of the agendas, and really makes you think, man. So I love watching a conversation with like just two deep thinkers and, you know, and, you know, listening in. So, that's on YouTube right now. It's just getting some shine. I think it's got like 9 million views already. It came out like 2 days ago. Let me see here. And, all right, before I get out of here, big shout out to, you know, see, I know I'm, you know, as far as the music review this week is going to be Oka Murder, but definitely the following week, definitely got to give a review on Schoolboy Q. Big shout out to Schoolboy Q, you know, one of my favorite artists now from the West Coast. You know, he's been doing his thing since 2010 and up, you know. He's down with Top Dog, you know, which is, you know, Kendrick's camp, Kendrick Lamar, SZA is out of there. But Schoolboy Q is probably like, you know, I mean, shout out to Kendrick. Kendrick gets all of the praise, but Schoolboy Q might be a little iller, you know what I'm saying? A little, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not taking nothing away from Kendrick, because Kendrick is dope, don't get me wrong. I mean, he's one of the, you know, him, J. Cole, and Drake, that's like the trifecta of for this generation, those are like the best of the best. But Schoolboy Q, definitely, man. So he dropped a new album, it's called Blueface, and it's dope because he hasn't been out in a while. But fan of Schoolboy Q, you know, definitely, you know, Crip dude, you know what I'm saying, from the West Coast, L.A. He's got a new album, and it's right on time, man, because I'm right in that mold right now, you know what I'm saying? He had a couple of other albums that I really like. He had Oxymoron that came out, I believe, that was like 2014, Blank Face in 2016. He had another album that came out in like 2018. I really wasn't feeling that album. It sounded more like a mixtape. But this is him back in his bag, man. So I'll definitely, you know, review that maybe next week or whatever. That's about it, man. I think I talked my ish long enough. Once again, be on the lookout for this month, the new top 10 list, man. 2024 top 10 list. The adult starlets that's in the game that's doing that thing, you know what I'm saying? Definitely going to be breaking that down, running it down. So, you know, be on the lookout for that, man. I haven't did the list in a minute. So can't wait to unpack that. But once again, this has been Real Adult Talk with SGMO Benz. Yeah, man, so as always, follow the Twitter page or X, however you want to call it, and that's Real Adult Talk. We spell talk T-A-W-K. You know, we put that country twang on it. And until next week, everybody be safe. Signing off. Peace, peace, peace.